For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 10, and we will read the first 10 verses. John chapter 10, the verses 1 through 10. And there we read God's holy word, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the strangers will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read. Please read along with me John chapter 10, the verses 1 through 5. John chapter 10, the verses 1 through 5. And there we read God's holy word, the text of the sermon, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the strangers will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Beloved congregation, what is the Lord Jesus often compared to in Scripture? Well, with this morning's scripture reading in mind, you will probably answer with a shepherd. It's a well-known picture of the Lord Jesus, and I think a very touching picture. When we think about the Lord Jesus as the shepherd, we all remember the parable found in Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep, which was sought and found by the shepherd. A clear picture of Jesus seeking and finding lost sinners. But maybe you have another portion of Scripture in mind. Maybe you think of an Old Testament passage, for instance, Psalm 23. This and other portions of Scripture picture the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, that is how he is called in the portion we read this morning. In this chapter, he is also called the door, referring to the door of the sheepfold. And with the help of the Lord, we hope to study some sections of John chapter 10. This morning, we will listen to the parable by paying attention to the words of the parable itself. This Wednesday, we hope to study the words, "I am the door," of verse 9. And next week, we hope to study verse 14 and 15 in the morning and focus on the word, "I am the good shepherd." And in the evening, the words of verse 16, "and other sheep I have which are not of this fold." theme of the sermon is the parable about the good shepherd. The parable about the good shepherd. First of all, we will pay attention to his sheepfold. Secondly, to his voice. And thirdly, to his shepherding care. The parable about the good shepherd. His sheepfold, his voice, his shepherding care. John chapter 10 contains a parable. That is what John says in verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them. What is a parable, children? Well, we can compare it with a picture. Think of a picture that is made this summer with others. For instance, you and others were playing a game, and you see different people in the picture. And you recognize other people, and you also find yourself in the picture. That's me, you say. Well, that's also the purpose of the parable, of a parable. It shows one or another kind of people. And every hearer should look to the picture of the parable and ask the question, where do I stand? Where do I find myself in the picture? The Lord Jesus told many parables, especially about the kingdom of God. These parables begin with the words, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard, or unto leaven, or unto a treasure hid in a field, etc. But this parable begins differently. It starts with a warning and pictures an antithesis, a picture with opposites. The Lord Jesus portrays thieves and murderers over against a shepherd who truly cares for his flock. And the Lord Jesus begins with a serious warning by using the words, verily, verily, I say unto you. And this introduction is a way of demanding our attention. Pay close attention to what will be said next. Verily, verily, meaning literally, amen, amen. It shall truly and certainly be. This is of utmost importance. And this is what everyone needs to hear, because this truth will stand forever. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The Lord Jesus places a thief and a robber over against a shepherd. Well, what is a thief and robber? Well, they come unexpectedly and uninvited. They take possessions from you without permission. They rob your freedom. They rob your freedom and privacy. It can also happen with a sheepfold. They do not shy back from demolishing the sheepfold or killing sheep. Thieves and robbers are the opposite of a shepherd, because a shepherd protects, feeds, nourishes sheep. He cares for his flock. But the thief and the robber do not. They come to steal and to kill and to destroy. They don't care for the shepherd's flock. And our children can understand this. If a thief would enter your house at night, then you will not expect any good from him. You'd rather stay away from him, because a thief is dangerous. He wants to steal your possessions. He breaks a door or window open, and he doesn't take off his shoes. He doesn't ask for permission to enter. He does not care whether he steps on your toys. He brutally opens drawers and closets. He's selfish. He's looking for the satisfaction of his own desires. And we wonder, why does the Lord Jesus warn against thieves and robbers? Who are they? Well, to understand this, we need to look briefly at the previous chapter. chapter 9 is about a man born blind who was healed by the Lord Jesus. The man had to wash himself with water from the pool Siloam after Jesus had anointed his eyes with clay. And after he received sight, he found himself troubled by all kinds of difficult questions asked by the Pharisees. They wanted to know how he was healed on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees did not care about his healing, but about the breaking of the Sabbath according to their strict laws. And Jesus compares these Pharisees with thieves and robbers. That must have been quite an insult to them. The Lord is not exaggerating. The Pharisees appeared to be nice and decent, but in reality they are wolves in sheep clothing who want to destroy God's sheepfold. They're only serving themselves, misleading the people. And the Lord Jesus warns his hearers against them. Well, do we know of such a thieves and robbers in our days as well? We live in a different time and circumstance. And yet, the sheepfold of God, which is a symbol of the kingdom of God, is always under attack, also in our days. There are many who have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Paul mentions to Timothy that there will be people who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. And we need to stay far away from them. They are threatening the flock of God. People who stand too high with themselves are a threat to the flock of God. They are thieves and robbers of God's honor and glory. And for such a people, we don't need to look far. We find them in our midst, even in our own heart. Because this is what we are by nature, thieves and robbers. Because since our fallen Adam and Eve, we have robbed God's honor and glory. We have stolen his praise and killed the spirit of obedience in us. This is what have become of us because of our disobedience to God. By nature, we are enemies of God and of his will. We are robbers of his honor. We are thieves of his blessings. We are inclined to keep all for ourselves. And by our sin, we have destroyed God's masterpiece called creation. Have you already discovered and confessed before the Lord that you are guilty of this? Then you look at the picture and you discover yourself in that picture. That is what I am by nature, a thief and robber. I'm inclined to all evil. That's also part of preparing ourselves for the Lord's Supper. As our form says, we are to consider by ourselves our sins and the curse due to us for them, to the end that we may abhor and humble ourselves before God. The parable we are studying specifically points to the threat against the sheepfold. And this emphasizes that sheep are only safe within the sheepfold with the doorkeeper at watch, and outside the sheepfold only when the shepherd goes before them. Well, the man born blind, as mentioned in chapter 9, was one of Jesus' sheep who was in need of the Lord Jesus' protection. His parents were embarrassed with the whole situation and did not want to defend their son. And the Pharisees cast him out of the temple and do not care for him. But the Lord Jesus sought and found him. As the good shepherd, he takes care of him. And this man, as it were, is brought into the sheepfold by the Lord Jesus. Now he is safe And that is what we all need. We need to be delivered from all that threatens our life, our sin and guilt, but also God's adversary. The sheepfold is a picture of safety. Within the walls you are safe as long as thieves and robbers stay out of it. And those who are in the sheepfold are vulnerable and need protection. That's a picture of God's church. God's people are compared with a flock of sheep. That's a well-known picture in both Old and New Testament. Israel's history starts with the patriarchs who were nomadic people traveling around with their cattle. And in Psalm 80, the poet calls Israel the flock of God. And in the prophets, we are often read the Lord calling his people his sheep. God's people are the flock of his pasture. And that's a humbling picture. God's people are like sheep. What can be said of sheep, children? Is a sheep a powerful animal? No, it's a very vulnerable and easy prey for the wild animals. Is a sheep a smart animal? No, it's rather stupid. A sheep has no sense of direction. It's a very dependent animal. It's not an animal you would like to be compared with. And that tells us something about God's people. What? That we are an easy prey for the evil one. We are vulnerable. We cannot defend ourselves. We need someone else who defends us, who protects us. What is our enemy? Well, we can think of the three-headed mortal enemy: the devil, the world, and our own sinful desires. Cease not to assault us. Oh, we are like sheep, like ignorant sheep who have no natural understanding of what is good. The world's temptations seek to entice us every day. And how many do not struggle with materialism, the proper use of the internet? Without the Lord's protection, we are like an open city, open to all enemies who want to rob and steal away all peace and love. And the devil is not quiet either. With all his whispering, he wants to make us despondent, tempting us to look at circumstances rather than to look to the Lord. Do you recognize yourself in this picture? Then you will confess, without the Lord's care and protection, I will fall into the claws of Satan. Without his protection, there is no hope for me. And I must confess that I resemble lost sheep who go on their self-chosen ways, drifting away from the Lord. In the world, we are surrounded by thieves and murderers. The flock of God is always under attack. Attack from outside, but also from the inside. Who will protect them? Who will guide them? We so need the care of the shepherd. But let us hear more about the shepherd in our second thought, the shepherd and his voice. When we look into the picture that is put in front of us, then we see a shepherd entering the sheepfold via the doorkeeper. From extra-biblical sources, we know that in the Middle East there were two different kinds of sheepfolds, at least two different kinds. There were sheepfolds in the country, which were particularly used from spring to fall when the sheep went out and the shepherd led them to all green pastures in the country. This was a low-walled corral made of stone with a narrow opening in front. But in the cold season, the sheep often stayed in town. The fold was much bigger and structurally robust. It was also a communal sheepfold with a professional gatekeeper. And this is a type of chorale we should keep in mind. Only shepherds have access to their flock. They have the right to enter the fold. And they are recognized by the doorkeeper, and he opens to them. Well, imagine a shepherd who enters the fold. The sheep of his own flock hear his voice. Sheep prick up their ears as soon as they hear his voice, and they recognize his voice. They will not get confused by another shepherd who might enter the sheepfold. If someone is clothed like the shepherd, they will not follow him, since he is not the true shepherd. How can sheep distinguish the true shepherd from a hireling, from a false shepherd? Well, by his voice. The sheep recognize their own shepherd by his voice. We read in verse 3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." There's a special bond between the sheep and the shepherd. A flock belongs to the shepherd, and the shepherd knows his sheep all by name. When he's admitted to the corral and walks between the sheep, which is a mixed flock, then the shepherd singles out his own sheep. He knows them all one by one. He knows them not only as flock, but very personally. They all have a name. The Eastern Shepherd often has an individual call for each of his sheep. And it is this that is portrayed here in this parable. And the sheep respond to him. They follow him as he leads them out. Well, there's a picture of the Lord Jesus, we all understand. Further in this portion, he calls himself the Good Shepherd, the shepherd par excellence. And he knows them, and they know him, since he made them to be his sheep. Once they were lost sheep. They were not in the privileged nearness of the shepherd, since they were lost. But while they were in the snares of sin and under the dominion of Satan, blind to their own foolishness, the Lord called them. Did he not do so with Zacchaeus, the rich publican who was captured in the snares of greed and materialism? When he sat in the tree watching Jesus, he was singled out by the Lord, who called him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And Zacchaeus could not but obey. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he came down and joyfully received the Lord Jesus in his house. Or think of Levi, another publican. While he was sitting in his tax office, the Lord Jesus passed by, stopped, and called Levi by his name. "Follow me." And all the chains and locks of sin and deceitfulness fell open, and he was delivered from sin and guilt and joined to the flock of the Lord Jesus. And so we can add more to the list of sheep who were lost but found by the Lord. He finds his sheep and calls them by name and says to them, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you see? Our coming to him is only possible because of his coming to us. He comes to take care of his sheep. That is the picture we have in front of us. He is the shepherd of his sheep. They are his sheep. He is completely involved with the care of his sheep. And his special care is also expressed in this parable and elaborated on by the Lord Jesus, explained further in John 10. What a tender picture we have in front of us. The shepherd calls his sheep by name, each one of them. That is what the Lord Jesus does with each of his sheep. Dear child of God, doesn't he call you by your name? He did this once when he became too strong for you. He called you under the preaching of the gospel or when you read scripture. As it were, he singled you out and pointed you to your misery and sin. It was about you. And you know yourself guilty before God, and you confessed your sin before God. He called you, revealing himself to you as the Savior and mediator for sinners. Or to say it in the language of this portion, as the good shepherd, he sought and found you as lost sheep. And he took you up and drew you out of your misery and showed you his compassion for you. As a lost sheep, you cried out, and the Lord stretched out his hands out to you and took you up his shoulder, carrying you to his flock, bringing you into his sheepfold, where you are safe and well protected. You heard his voice, and you have become acquainted with his voice, since you are instructed by him. You hear his voice when he exposes your misery. And you hear his voice when he points to himself as the one who is able and willing to perfectly save you. He is the good shepherd who shows you the way of salvation, who is the way of salvation. It's not simply explained to you, but the Lord taught you in such a way that he gave himself to you, and you could do nothing but embrace him as your shepherd, as your king and savior. And every day you feel the need of heeding his voice. Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We learn that our obedience to the Lord's voice is a given obedience. To become obedient, we are so in need of him who makes us willing and able to follow him. The secret of hearing his voice and following him is grounded in him knowing us. And that is the secret of grace. From eternity, he has singled out his own. And in due time, he calls his own. And they cannot then but answer his voice. They cannot then but listen to him. And that's something we need to learn time and again, isn't it? How easily we go astray. How easily we ignore his voice. And though the Lord knows what is best for us, though he seeks what is best for us, we are inclined to disobey, to be like a foolish sheep. Well, that happens when we cherish a bosom sin, or when we feel ourselves better than others, then we don't feel the need of a shepherd who leads and protects us. But the miracle of grace, congregation, is that the Lord knows what we are. He knows what we are. And therefore he comes to his own and calls them all by their name. Do you hear his voice under the preaching of his word? Do you hear your name this morning? Stubborn one, wanderer, come and follow me. The Lord wants you to live in communion with him. And it pleases him to fill you with the riches which he has merited for his own. And therefore he wants to lead us out in order to bring us to the green pastures of salvation. He wants to feed us with the good which he has merited for his own. He knows what sheep we are. That's what we will see in our third point when we hear about the shepherd, his shepherding care. He knows of our stubbornness and foolishness. In verse 4 we read, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." He needs to put his own sheep forth. Picture a shepherd amongst the sheep in the fold. Several flocks are in the same fold, and he calls his own, and he calls them and pushes them up to the exit of the sheepfold. There's a sheep who lingers. At the end of the stick, he gives a tap on the sheep, pushing him into the right direction. And meanwhile, he calls the sheep by name. There's another sheep who hears the shepherd, but who is so stubborn so that he does not give heed to the shepherd's voice. And yet the shepherd does not want any of his flock stay behind. He leads them all out because they all need his shepherding care. And he knows exactly what they need, because not listening to the shepherd would mean their destruction. Some Greek manuscripts include the word "all" in verse 4. "And when he putteth forth all his own," each and every one. That even emphasizes that personal involvement of the shepherd with each individual sheep. That is what the Lord Jesus is for his people. He deals with his sheep in a personal manner. Even with those who do not behave themselves as sheep of the shepherd because of their backsliding, their sloppiness, or their stubbornness, he draws each and every one out. How? By his word and spirit. Child of God, he does not allow you to stay behind. But he calls you through his word. When you faithfully read his word, he draws you. And he makes all things ready for his people. Next week, the table will be set for his people, filled with all the blessings which he has merited for his flock. And he wants his people to be there. Look what an effort he takes to get his people there. By word and spirit, he puts forth all his own. He pushes them up by his admonitions, but also by his comfort, so that the one who backslides, or the one who has fallen into sin, or the one who lacks zeal for the Lord and his service, or the one who suffers from unbelief that remains in his heart unwillingly, will come to the source of grace. He knows what hinders his people. He knows their shortcomings, but it does not hinder him from bringing all them out. And he knows what to expect from his sheep. He drives them out. Who? His sheep. No more and no less. He also drives out that unwilling sheep. When he pushes you up by his uncovering and comforting teaching, when he applies his word to your heart, then you cannot do anything but obey. He does not leave you any choice. The trial you experience, your struggle with sin, makes you dependent on him. And you learn that without him you can do nothing. And therefore he teaches you to listen carefully to him. And if you must confess that many times you did not heed his voice, then repent. Do not delay, but humble yourself before the Lord in penitence. But let us also pray that the Lord will open our eyes for our own deceitfulness, so that we will become honest before him and take heed of his call. And those who are his own know his voice, and you also know of his power by which he leads you. And then you learn to turn away from self-chosen ways and to bow under his shepherding care. That's a painful lesson for the flesh, but so beneficial for your soul. You learn that it is so good to know the Good Shepherd. He wants you to listen to his voice because he has so much better for you in store. You may not see it, but the shepherd knows, because he knows where and to what blessedness he will lead his sheep. To obey his voice is a lifelong lesson, since there is so much distrust in our hearts. But he calls us, and he opens our eyes for the compassion, mercy, and love of the shepherd. And then we know, though there is so much that I do not understand, though there are so many reasons for me to abhor myself, yet he is the good shepherd who shows his love for his flock. And what does the shepherd do after he brings them out? Well, he goes before them, says verse 4. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He goeth before them. Yeah, there are two different ways of leading a flock. A shepherd goes behind them, like we just saw in the picture of the sheepfold, but he can also go before them. He also goes before them, and they follow him. Why is that? Well, you need to know that a shepherd must often lead his flock on unwinding paths because of narrow passages between hills and rocks. And what does the shepherd do then? Well, he goes before them, because the sheep are scared. They can't see what will come next, and therefore the shepherd goes before them and then uses his staff to punch on the ground so that the sheep can hear the shepherd and know which direction to go. Though the sheep do not see the shepherd, they can still hear him. And all the sheep need to do is to follow the sound. Maybe you lack sight of the good shepherd right now. It was different in other times, but now you lack that sight of him. You don't know where to find him. Take heed of his voice. Listen to his staff steadily thumping in the thumping the pathway, which you can hear in his word. Though you lack a clear view of him, use the means which he provides. He is the one who goes before his sheep, and he safely leads his flock to green pastures where he feeds and protects them. Who is he? He is the shepherd who conquered death and sin. In the stead of his sheep, he bore the burden of sin and curse. Though he was without sin, he was slain. The sword of God's wrath was against him. The shepherd was smitten so that his sheep would go free. He is the perfect surety and mediator for his people. He suffered hellish agony. He was bound that we may be freed from our sins. He suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded. He was condemned to death so that we might never be confounded, says our form for the Lord's Supper. And so he is the shepherd who goes before his sheep. He will not lead them to death, but but to life eternal. And only if we follow the shepherd, we will enter the celestial city, the heavenly sheepfold. He died in order to grant us life. He was raised from the dead so that death cannot lead us to condemnation anymore. He dies no more. And therefore it is sure that all his given sheep will be there where he is. Maybe you lack a felt sense of his presence. Maybe you are groping in the dark. Plead his promises. If you cannot but follow the shepherd, then he calls you. With me is light. With me is life. And next week this will be signed and sealed to us by bread and wine. And those who know him by his voice are called to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It pleases him to strengthen the weak and to sustain those who are about to fall. You may eat and drink from the riches which he has merited for his flock. With him you find forgiveness of sin. With him you find peace for your heart. Come and taste the goodness of the Lord. Taste his infinite mercy. Taste his eternal love. But if you don't know his voice personally, if you don't know of a life of repentance and faith, living in deep dependence of the Lord, then you cannot celebrate the Lord's Supper. Then what? Then you are called to repent. Maybe you're very decent. Maybe you consider yourself to be faithful. But then you clearly prove that you're not one of his sheep. Since his sheep know themselves as lost, yet found by him. Those who know his voice have learned that it is only by grace that they are sought and found. And you have only one desire: oh, that I may hear his voice. Oh, that he will teach me his way, that he will go before me, that I may heed his call. You have a low view of self and a high view of the shepherd because of his undeserved love by which he has loved you. And may that be the joy of all those who by grace know this good shepherd. Let his joy be yours. It pleases him to feed you from his riches. Oh, let your soul be fed by him. Don't listen to the voices which cause you to stay away from him. He calls you. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Amen.